sahanavavatu
sahanavunaktu sahaviryankaravavahai tejasvinavadhitamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. So verse 288, 192, page 63. The doctor has come. Okay. Sri Ramananda Rai quoted, "A person who is very cunning and always youthful, expert in joking and without anxiety, and who can keep his girlfriends always subjugated, is called Dhira Lalita." Footnote 24. This is a verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1, 2.30. Right? So Krishna has these four kinds of personalities. He manifests at different times, like that. So Dhira Lalita, that'll be the relationship that he has with the gopis, like that. Dhira 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 Dutta. Then, well, I think the example is given of Lord Ramachandra. Right, always following very nicely all the rules and everything like that. This is Dhira Prashanta. Or in Dhira Lalita, Dhira Prashanta is that he sets an ideal example. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is given as the example. And then you have Dhirodatta, means when he's angry and there's a fight, and, you know, like the example is given as his comments to Poundrika, when Poundrika is claiming, you know, telling Krishna that, you know, he's usurped these, the weapons of and symbols of Lord Vishnu, he should give them back, meaning to Pandrika. And Krishna says, no problem. He gets out his Sudarshan and sends it back. Like that. So these three moods are there. Day and night, Lord Sri Krishna enjoys the company of Srimati Radharani in the bushes of Vrindavan. Thus, his pre-youthful age is fulfilled through his affairs of Srimati Radharani. So pre-youthful just means just before youth. Because at youth, then you become an adult. So this is just before being an adult. It means youth is 16 to 29, so that means through 29, means up to 30. Like that. So this is just before that. So then it's still in the teens aspect. Quote, "Thus Lord Sri Krishna spoke of the sexual activities of the previous night. In this way he made Srimati Radharani close her eyes out of shyness. Taking this opportunity, Sri Krishna painted various types of dolphins on her breasts. Thus he became a very expert artist for all the gopis. During such pastimes the Lord enjoyed the fulfillment of his youth." Footnote 25. This quotation is also found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.2.3.1. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, This is all right, but please continue." At that time, Ramananda replied, I don't think my intelligence goes beyond this." Ramananda Rai then informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there was another topic known as Prema Vilasa Vivarta. You may hear of this from me," Ramananda Rai said, "but I don't know whether you will be happy with it or not." Srila Prabhupada. These statements are set forth for our understanding, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasya. In essence, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ramananda Rai, "My dear Ramananda, The explanations you have given about the goal of life and the pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Krishna is certainly the truth. Although this is factual, you can continue telling me more if there is anything more to say. In reply, Ramananda Rai said, I do not think I have anything to say beyond this, but there is a topic known as Prema Vilasa Vivarta, which I may explain to you. I do not know whether it will bring you happiness or not. You know, that's what he's looking for. 28193. Saying this, Ramananda Rai began to sing a song he had composed. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of the ecstasy of love of Godhead, immediately covered Ramananda's mouth with his own hand. Srila Prabhupada. The topics that are about to be discussed between Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai cannot be understood by a materialistic poet, nor by intelligence, nor by material perception. Right? So this is not just, you know, being fanatic, oh yeah, yeah. No, this is real. Means because that's the whole point, is Krishna is revealing himself. He is independent. He's in control. You know, he's in control of the kavya, of intelligence, of perception, all these things. They're all him because they all come from consciousness, and he's consciousness, right? He's the supreme consciousness. So you can only understand him if he allows. It's a very, very, you know, it can't be underestimated this point. It's not that no, if we just try hard we'll get. No, it's that you try with bhakti to please Krishna, that's what we'll get. But simply analysis, trying to memorize these things, sitting around with your friends talking about them, you won't understand. You may memorize things very nicely, be able to tell the stories very nicely, but the actual understanding, that's another thing. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that the spiritual mellow can be realized only when one is situated on the transcendental platform beyond the material stage of goodness. That platform is called Vishuddha Sattva. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Realization of the Vishuddha Sattva platform is beyond the pale of the material world and is not perceived by bodily senses or mental speculation. Our identification with the gross body and subtle body is different from spiritual understanding. Since the intelligence and mind are material, the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are beyond their perception. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. When we are free from all material designations and our senses are completely purified by the bhakti process, we can understand the sense activities of the absolute truth. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Means when we have no material desire, then at that point Krishna can reveal these things. Because what happens is that by our perception, it has three features. It has the, as we, you know, we've discussed this before, the Pramana Chaitanya, the Vishaya Chaitanya, right? And the Pramitri Chaitanya. So in this, the pramana means your ability to perceive something and analyze it. The vishaya is what things the mind decides to focus on. And then the pramitri, that means those things that you have contemplated and have chosen and have acted upon. So therefore, you're going to get an experience from that, good or bad. So then that will be recorded in the memory, right? These are called samskars. So when the learning process means taking you from whatever is your position, your samskars, and within the context of your samskars, trying to bring you forward, right? Because I want to take up a newer position than I'm in, you know, with more knowledge, more understanding and all that. But I have to start from where I am. I can't just do something I don't have a connection with. Right? You know, I can't tell you now is, no, if you just turn left when you College Street, when you just get to Mahatma Gandhi, you know, if you're going north towards north like that, then just turn left there and about three shops down, there's a specialty, shop that does these sitapatis here. And they have this really special one where they cut them very fine and they're very green, like it's half the width or even a quarter the width of this. Really fine with designs. And after they, but those ones are made by boiling this reed. This is the, what do you call it? Bark of cane. You know? And so they boil it in milk. Really nice, really soft and all that. So, you know, you should, you know, now just, you know, turn on that place, go into that shop, check those out and see if you like it. Can you do that now? Why not? The mind is there, you can contemplate so many things, but can you do it? No, because there's a detachment from where you are and where that is. So that's the whole point that they're bringing out here, is that if there's a difference, you can't appreciate these. You know, that's the point. Because we may say, oh no, but we've had experience of this material, I say, romance and all that. You know, you see it in novels, you see it in movies, and this and that. And, you know, so all these things are there, so we know what's going on. But the point is no, you don't. Because the thing is that is based on, as we discussed this morning, the living entity desiring a particular material situation. And that we got that situation, we call ourselves happy. But the point is there is no rasa between dead matter and consciousness. So that means you can't. It's a perverted form of it. But you can't actually understand, you know, these things. Other things we generally don't, you know, if we see parents with the children, we don't think sense gratification. Or friends with friends and the general nice pleasant. We don't think friends. A servant and master, we don't think sense gratification. Shanta definitely not going to think sense gratification. Liberation maybe, and then that turns into a sense gratification. But then conjugal, then that immediately is connected with our experience. Right? What we've seen, what we've heard. Does that make sense? So that's why they're being so careful here, is that it's beyond. You cannot. So you can't compare it to your own position. So that's why he says this is very nice. But what do we have here? We're having the situation they're in and the particular interaction that's going on. But is the rasa, the taste that they're experiencing, is that discussed in these verses? No. Someone who's absorbed in the rasa, these verses come up, it sets the scene and the mood, and then all, and they taste the whole thing. Because they're dealing with the icha, they can then see the kriya and jnana, how it's supporting. Otherwise, these are just aspects of the arrangement of yoga maya that they're there. Krishna's there, Radharani's there, he says something a bit bold, and she becomes shy, and then he interacts, and like this and that, but the taste, has it been? So that's why he's saying, well, there's this topic, prema vilasa vibharta. These are about the tastes. He says, I don't know if you'll like this or not. But the point is, we understand the difference here? Because when devotees get into this, about Radha Krishna and Ram, they only talk on this level. They can't discuss the tastes. Because if they are, it's not public. You can discuss if you have the taste, but you'll discuss that taste with someone else who has taste. You won't going to tell it to someone else. You know, so that's the whole thing. You know, it's just like, married women with children will be telling young girls that are unmarried about, you know, what's necessary in the way of character and attitude, that sense of duty, the sense of responsibility. These are the things they'll talk about. You know, about how you'll be successful in marriage. But let's say teen girls that are dying to get married, and that they'll talk all kinds of nonsense. And they don't even mind talking it in front of people who are not qualified, younger girls and stuff like that. They have no discrimination. But it's thought in the contemporary sense that those teenagers, they're the rasiks. And those parents are just fuddy-duddies who just, you know, are being fanatic. But that's the whole point. You never see the acharyas talk on that level. They'll point out different things. That means that the things in Ujjvala Nilamani is finer points of this. And then it'll say things about these, but that's all the more it will talk. Because the point is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if someone tells you, I'll explain to you the taste, you know, in rasa, I'll give you that, then he says you know they're bogus. Because you can't explain the taste. It's relish, you know, but that taste you can't. You can compare to some, you know, you're tasting some food. You can say, oh, it tastes like this thing, that thing. You can compare it to that. Oh, it's this spice, that spice. But the experience you're getting, you cannot explain. So they only bring you near so that there'll be an appreciation. It's this. Yes?
So, I'm trying to understand. One of them, Roy and Bhagavan, are discussing this up to a certain level, which is quite high.
Yes.
They are tasting with each other.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
Yes.
But us, when we read, we just read words and we can appreciate.
Yes, we can appreciate and we can see that it's something more than what the other things. Yes.
So, is the message. Now, if you want to know more, you've got to work on your sadhana, and then you've got to turn into the Goswami literature to have opened up these things. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, you could say that's correct. So, but the point is that, as it said, when you don't have it was probably mentioned here, when there's no material desire, but how does no material desire come? It's not a separate endeavor. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that The bhakti, knowledge, and detachment from material, they're in proportion together. They don't move separately. So if bhakti, but if you see that there's not in proportion, then you know the root is bhakti is not being performed properly. It's not, oh, we have to put the renunciation more, we have to put, you know, the knowledge more. No. Bhakti is not going on right. Because if bhakti is going on right, then all these things go properly. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, that's the whole point, is that when you are absorbed in devotional service nicely and committed to that, then the knowledge and detachment come naturally. And so when it comes to that point where one's detached from material desire, then these things start to make more sense. Otherwise, they're nice pastimes that will always be appreciated because it's Radha and Krishna. It's always going to be nice. But what we're meaning is the depth that they're tasting, we're not going to be tasting. So just because we know the story or we can tell the story, that doesn't make us more advanced. Does that make sense?
So, when you say tasting, does that mean reaching? Or it's already powered?
The point is that taste is going to be, it's an aspect of bhava, right? But it extends all the way down because there's some taste being gained. But the point is that you're going to have some taste. That's why somebody new comes, hears the discussion, and they're inspired. And they have a taste, but the level that they have the taste of that. But as soon as that story's over, or that discussion's over, then it's back to normal. You know? Yeah, but when it becomes stable, then that's something that's there. Or it has to be within those who then they can discuss it, and they won't get into weirdo questions. You know, you won't get questions on, you know, why dolphins? You know? You get a question like that, then immediately start talking Bhagavad Gita. You know? So that's... I was just going to ask that. Does that make sense? So the thing is it's something there. Is by hearing, then we're inspired that this is the goal, this is what you can attain. But as you mentioned, to get there, then we have to practice our sadhana and be stable. You know, and have that faith, have that eagerness, and then Krishna will reciprocate. But it's not by hearing the story, it puts you on that platform. You know, maybe temporarily, but when the story is over, then you have to see where you are. When the story is over, you leave and you go out and you don't see the world the same anymore, then that's wonderful. You know? So that's why you see is, when it's some general discussions, then, you know, the purports to be about some certain technical point or this or that. But when it gets down to these things, then you see is that it's always brought up. Prabhupada's mentioning, he's quoting from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they're all making this point. And that's why you see Rupa Goswami, then he's giving very nice description and so many examples and everything of all the other rasas, but when it comes to conjugal, he keeps it really short and exact. Because it's if you go beyond that, people will compare it to something material. But that's the thing is, for them, it's the rasa, and these are the forms that are used. You know, it'd be just like, let us say, for example, we'll try it if it works. Let us say you have a very aristocratic family. And, you know, in their family, you know, it's known for refinement. And it's, you know, been generationally, you know, going on like this. So, let's say when it comes to eating, then their utensils are very exceptional. You know, they might be family heirlooms from, you know, 100, 200 years before. So, the value of them, the work of them, the refine, everything, it's just, you nothing compares. And their cooking is also extremely refined. So they're sitting at this table set with all these very, you know, wonderful arrangements. In a room with all these wonderful arrangements. But while they're eating, they're not impressed with all the cutlery and everything like that. They're focused on the taste. They're talking about this and that niceness and the subtleness or how this was done or that was done and, you know, and coming out like, yeah, that was really nice the other day, did this, and that was combined with it. You know, does that make some sense? But now let's say you take someone else who does not have that kind of a background, and you put them in there, they'll only be looking, wow, check this fork out, wow, you know, whoa, look at the glass, you know, and you bring the food, they won't know the difference between that and something that came from a fast food joint. But they'll be impressed with the arrangement. The food, it was nice, but wow, you should have seen the plates. And you understand? So that's what they mean. It is, if you're going to be a fanboy of the paraphernalia, then, you know, stick to your sadhana. Means you're going to stick to your sadhana anyway, even if one's advanced. But it'll be external form. And internally they'll be absorbed in the Lord's pastimes. Because memory you can't force. Hearing and chanting, that you can absorb yourself in. But memory comes by the grace of the Lord. He's knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So it comes because of bhakti. It doesn't come because you have a great memory. So that's why a lot of times devotees are thinking, oh, I'll chant and I'll remember their deities and this and that, and they can't. Because that's not how it works. You chant, and from the chanting, then the name means Krishna, then you'll remember. Is that... So...
Very knowledgeable, and you can't go. People sit there and briefly observe. Is that because they're
Is that, it means, do people in India going to the saptas, and they're absorbed, is that because they're pious? I would say it's because the person who's leading it is really good orator and entertainer. Do they have saptas in the south?
No.
So therefore, when you say that they're very, very absorbed, because in south, unless it's sampradayic, they just don't care. That's why all anybody who wants to be independent, even the south guys, they all go to north. You know, so all the Dayananda this, Nanda that, they're all from south. That's why they have so much brains that can organize like that. But that's because the person just is good how to tell the stories. As soon as he sees people starting to not focus, he starts a kirtan. So it's just a presentation. It's just they're good. I remember once Shatadanya Prabhu, he was invited, you know, back in the 70s, when life member meant, you know, life members were the ones that were stinky, filthy wretch, right? And then with time now it's down to, you know, you can buy installment for the guy that runs the pawn shop, right? Right? So these guys like that. So he was invited, you know, because they'd regularly do things with the Birlas to one of their programs. And they had this, their orator, you know, because they'll fly him in when they want to do a program. And he was a speech and drama major. So he knows talking and how to present and that. And he said this guy was the best he'd ever seen in his life. He said what he was saying basically was pure nonsense, but how he said it, it was like the best he had ever heard. So he just said all these guys, because they're all intelligent, all educated, so they're just so impressed and how good is his presentation. But what he's saying doesn't necessarily have any value at all. So that's the guys that he was talking about, the guys that do the big programs and all that, that's their position. And you have the people are pious that they'll rather go to this than stand outside Amitabhachan's house and wait for darshan or something like that. But yeah, so there is some piety there. But at the same time, it's just because these guys are really, really good orators. Yeah. Huh?
It still happens in Calcutta.
Still happens in Calcutta, yeah. Yeah, because they're kind of more refined and all that. They like. So they'll be. So it's not necessarily, it means the piety that they'll go to that rather than something else, but at the same time as if there's a new Bollywood movie out, they'll go to that also, you know?
And it's interesting because, you know, you can have it in Hyderabad, you can have it in Rishikesh, you can have it in Allahabad, but then you have it in Jaipur, the coffee inside the Vindavan, where they do the path really nice.
But that's maybe another thing, because it just depends who's there. Those may be devotees.
Yeah.
And so who's sitting there are devotees.
Yeah,
so
young girls, a darshan,
the point is these aren't for us. So what is their position? It's not our business to work out. We don't do that. So it's not our thing. So if they're pious or not, they're devotional or not, that's their thing. We don't do it. You know? Like that, you know. So we have our system given by acharyas. We follow that. Because where they're going, we don't know. But where we're going, then we're clear. And it's not this, it doesn't matter. That's you know, our famous pujari in Calcutta. You know, it's whatever path you take, it all leads to the same goal. So we don't buy into that like that. So we're very, very careful. So the point is they do that, nice. We don't do that. We don't care. Just like Lord Chaitanya himself, you know, told Sanatana Goswami, he says, you respect the Brajabasis, but you don't be too close to them. They're in a different category. They have their own relationship. So it's not that we can imitate that or try. It's just that's not our... Because the point is they may be getting Krishna's mercy by their position. But if we follow that, then Krishna says, better do your duty than someone else's. So if we try to do theirs, we won't get the same result. Because because they may please Krishna, but we won't because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. They have their people who they follow and all that, and that's their business. That's spontaneously how they do it. So they're just different. So we don't need to, that we don't get involved in. The other Bhagavad Saptahas, that we can comment on because the Acharyas have commented on it. So what the Brajvasis do and the devotees of Govindaji or Gopinatha, like that we don't get involved in. We go, we take our darshan, we appreciate the mood and all that, take some prasad, go, are you all? Like devotees were telling me, at least this is, would have been back in like 70s, 80s. They were in Jaipur for something. They were at somebody's shop. I'm not sure what they were doing there. If they were doing life membership or some other preaching or some discussions or like this. But they're in the shop and there's tons of people at the shop and out on the street because it's in the evening. That's the time everyone goes out, right? It's too hot any other time of the day. But right when it's just before our take, then they say, well, you know, we're shutting shop. Everybody gets up and leaves. They shut the shop, lock up, and everybody runs to the temple. Take darshan, see the artik and that. Then they come back, open the shop, and then, you know. But, you know, it could be, say, wow, if you stayed there, you would have, you know, had 10 customers. They don't care. They're going to go see Govindaji. You know, so that's them. Definitely not us. Yeah, both morning and evening. And they run, you know? Yeah, yeah, all these. The fortunate thing over there is that the fat Marwaris are only on this side of India. Over there, they're not fat, so it's easier for them to run. That's why you don't see it happen in Calcutta. The spiritual senses are beyond the material senses. A materialist can think only of the negation of material variety. He cannot understand spiritual variety. He thinks that spiritual variety simply contradicts material variety and is a negation or void, right? So when on the material platform, when you try to be spiritual, this is what you'll do, right? Such conceptions cannot reach the precincts of spiritual realization. So they can't even get to the outskirts, you know, just out on the edge. You know. The wonderful activities of the gross body and subtle mind are always imperfect. They are below the degree of spiritual understanding and are ephemeral, right? Because they're temporary. For us, then they're basically ephemeral. They just go away. The spiritual mellow is eternally wonderful and is described as purna, shuddha, nitya, mukta. That is complete, perfectly pure, and eternally liberated from all material conceptions. When we are able to fulfill our material desires, there is a certain sorrow and confusion. We are unable to fulfill our material desires, there is certainly sorrow and confusion. This may be described as vivarta. But, so it means as the illusion, right? Because we think this will give us some happiness. It doesn't, so we become upset. But in spiritual life, there is no sorrow, inebriety, or imperfection. Srila Ramananda Rai was expert in realizing the spiritual activities of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And Ramananda's spiritual experience was placed before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he inquired whether the Lord approved his realization of spiritual truth. So he's speaking according to what he understands, what Lord Chaitanya is making him speak. So he's saying, I don't know if you'll be pleased or not, because it may be my realization is not complete or not as far as you want to go or, you know, something like that. So he's making that point. So the spiritual senses can be engaged, but then the problem is unless one's engaging them all the time, then the tendency is that material aspect will come in. Right? When it's engaging the senses in the Lord's service, you're using the intelligence how to do things for Krishna, the mind absorbed in Krishna, that's spiritual. But if at any point that's not what's happening, then these things are not for discussion. Does that make sense? So that's why the stability, you know, that's why we're trying to make ourselves stable in Krishna consciousness. That's the first point. The anartas are removed so that we become stable. Those are removed by devotional service. Because by bhakti, then the jnana and vairagya, they can actually come up. You get more knowledge, you get detachment, like that. But you have to let it go. Because if we're attached, if there's doubts or misgivings, then we won't let things go. Right? In other words, the weeds are being pulled out and you go, oh, that's a nice one, I like that one. You know, then okay, then it stays. Yeah, so that's this thing. There are three books prominent in this connection. One was written by Bhaktidas Baula and is called Vivarta Vilas. Another was compiled by Jagarananda Pandit and is called Prema Vivarta. Sri Ramananda Rai's book is called Prema Vilasa Vivarta. The Vivarta Vilas by Bhaktidas Baul is completely different from the other two books. Sometimes a university student or professor tries to study these transcendental literatures and attempts to put forth a critical analysis from the mundane view, with an end to receiving degrees like PhD. Such realization is certainly different from that of Ramananda Rai. If one actually wants to take a PhD degree from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be approved by Ramananda Rai, he must be first free from all material designations, sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. A person who identifies with this material body cannot understand these talks between Sri Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Man-made religious scriptures and transcendental philosophical talks are quite different. Indeed, there is a gulf of difference between the two. This subject matter has been very diligently described by Sriman Madhvacharya. Since material philosophers are situated in the material conception of life, they are unable to realize the spiritual prema vilas vivarta. They cannot accommodate an elephant upon a dish. Right? What we see is that Krishna is able to thread an elephant through the eye of a needle, let alone on a dish. Dish is pretty big. Right? So they're being quite liberal here. Right? Similarly, mundane speculators cannot capture the spiritual elephant within their limited conception. It is just like a frog trying to measure the Atlantic Ocean by imagining it so many times larger than his well. Materialistic philosophers and Sahajiyas cannot understand the talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concerning the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. But the only tendency of the impersonalist or the Prakriti Sahajiyas is to face the platform of impersonalism. Because they just take it into this generic and, oh yeah, this is that and this is this, and so these things are very pleasurable, and so then they think that, you know, it's a very nice thing. So it just reminds them of the material platform. So they're not actually about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. They're about those pastimes give rise for them enjoying those kind of discussions. So it's actually impersonal.
When we compare something, we compare according to our own realization value.
Yes. So that's why you have to come in contact with the chit potency.
Yes.
Otherwise, then it can't be known. That's the point. There is no question of them ever understanding. Because by that process of going through, you have to compare it to what you know. Unless you come in contact with a chit potency, then you can only compare the material. So yes, there are those who are more intelligent and more refined and more in the mode of goodness, but it still will not reach the platform of Vishuddha Sattva. Vishuddha Sattvam Vasudeva Shabditam. It won't reach there. It can't. So that's why it's impossible. We can say, no, but if you explain it nicely or you have to be logical. No. It's the chit potency that makes it work. So if you're just talking yoga and being nice and taking that, where's the chit potency? You're a devotee, yes. But it doesn't mean that you're explaining these things without discussing the chit potency, that it carries the chit potency. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. We don't hear that the people that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is dealing with as the magistrate, that they're making spiritual advancement. You know, we don't hear of that. You know, so the whole point is he's performing his duties, and that, of course, by being nice to him or dealing nicely or respectful, there's going to definitely be some agyata sukriti. But the point is he's just talking law there, and that's all that's being discussed. So if we go to a yoga studio and only discuss yoga, it's not that they're coming in contact with the chitpotency. How are they getting any closer to Krishna? You can say, but there's devotees and all that. Yeah, it's some agyata sukriti if they respect the devotee and that appreciate the devotee. That's nice, but how slow is that? You know? I mean, who joined because of that? Which person joined because of that? No, it's because of the aspects of direct activities. Yeah, very few, like that. They're nice, they're favorable, they invite us and all that, and it seems like it's great and all that. But we have to remember, Prabhupada started off in 65, in the upper Manhattan yoga scene. So, I mean, we're only getting to the yoga scene now the last 10, 15 years. Prabhupada was there at 65. That means he was, 50 years before you even knew there was a scene. He already did it and just moved on. Been there, done that. And then we're thinking, woo. You know, I'm saying the yoga, but unless you can bring it to further.
Yeah. At that time, they were staying there, not just coming and going.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a full place.
Yeah, the whole ashram, and they go on these things and like that. But if you can speak to them and get through that and bring them into devotional service, then that's going on. A few devotees know how to do that. But I've been to ones, you know, it's like they say, don't talk about Krishna, this, that. Said, oh, I thought you mean I've been. He says, oh yeah, no, it's a new group. We the classes have only been going on 6 weeks. I'm thinking, in 6 weeks, you haven't told them about Krishna. Prabhupada's already talking about relationships with Krishna in the second page of the introduction to Gita. You know? So, yeah, but whatever, they like it.
When the living entity develops a material desire, is it an indication that he lost contact with the chief potential?
When he develops material desire, a devotee.
Yes, a devotee.
The point is that is he noticing that there's material desire? If he's noticing, then, but before did one notice? As a materialist, you notice you have material desire. No, it's just standard. So that you're noticing that material desire is there, that's a symptom of that one has advanced. So the point is then be careful and get back on track. Because by habit, so much is there. So that's the whole point. You normally do things, certain situations, you just act in a particular way. So when that comes up, then it's just from habit. Panchavidramar is just, sat on the train when it pulls out of the station, you know, and you're sitting there, you know, looking at the window and all that. And, you know, you can see a few things, but it's slow, but it gets moving to a point where everything just kind of becomes a blur. You don't focus. It's not very fast, but you don't focus. And he was sitting there with Prabhupada and not focusing, just the normal kind of thing. And then he noticed a young girl, very attractive young girl. And, it's just like that, and his eyes just immediately caught. And he asked Prabhupada, says, I'm not even focusing. I'm not looking for a girl. My eyes, it's just a blur going by because I'm not even paying attention. But when there's a girl, my eyes focus, the mind immediately catches and then follows, because you have those two little windows, so you have about, 10 nanoseconds, like that. And then Prabhupada said, that's just habit. It's because we've always been looking, where can we find, something to enjoy? So he says that's just habit. So that's what it means. As soon as that, then you just immediately, oh, okay, just Krishna, you know, what, the potency, that all these things. And so you just continue with your sadhana. And understand is that another thing is you become aware of what's there. A lot of times you think, oh, where did this come from? No, it's always been there. It didn't just come up out of nowhere. It's always been there. It's just you didn't notice it, and now you're starting to notice. And so that's the point, is as you chant and all these things do service, these things just go up and out. You let them go, then they disappear. You hold on to them, then they'll be put back. And you'll have to deal again later. So that you're aware that there's material desire, then that means that there's some advancement. You know. But then you should then continue like that and not get involved. You know. Does that make sense? You know, unless it's within the sphere of your activities, then you connect it to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Materialistic philosophers and sahajiyas cannot understand the talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concerning the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. The only tendency of the impersonalist or the Prakriti sahajiyas is to face the platform of impersonalism. They cannot understand spiritual variegatedness. So they just try to either compare it here and this kind of thing, or they just take it that that's a springboard for them thinking about sense gratification. And in their mind, they just put Radha and Krishna there, but it's just about their sense gratification. Consequently, when Ramananda Rai attempted to sing his own verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped him by covering his mouth with his own hand. 2.8.194. Sri Ramananda Rai recited, "Alas! Before we met, there was an initial attachment between us brought about by an exchange of glances. In this way, attachment evolved. That attachment has gradually grown, and there is no limit to it. Now that attachment has become a natural consequence between ourselves. It is not that it is due to Krishna, the enjoyer, nor is it due to me, for I am the enjoyed. It is not like that. This attachment was made possible by mutual meeting. This mutual exchange of attraction is known as Manobhava, or Cupid. Krishna's mind and my mind have merged together. Now, during this time of separation, it is very difficult to explain these loving affairs. My dear friend, though Krishna might have forgotten all these things, you can understand and bring this message to him. But during our first meeting, there was no messenger between us, nor did I request anyone to see him. Indeed, Cupid's five arrows were our via media. Now, during this separation, that attraction has increased to another ecstatic state. My dear friend, please act as a messenger on my behalf. Because if one is in love with a beautiful person, this is the consequence." Right? So you see the difference between this explanation and the previous ones. Right? This is all about that mood that's there. It's all about that attachment, the rati. And then the things that, and then that the movement of that rati. And it'll touch on situations in which it's expressed through. It's different. Not the other ones are fine. Those are the situations, and this is the moods and feelings that'll go on. But the point is that's the stuff we'll catch. This is the stuff this isn't what people sit around reading when they want to get into, let's get into some bhav here. You know what I'm saying? When we're telling stories, this is not the stuff that's told. So, Srila Prabhupada, these verses were originally composed and sung by Ramananda Rai himself. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests that during the time of conjugal enjoyment, the attachment might be compared to Cupid himself. However, during the period of separation, Cupid becomes a messenger of highly elevated love. This is called prema vilasa vivarta. When there is separation, conjugal enjoyment itself acts like a messenger. And that messenger was addressed by Srimati Radharani as a friend. The essence of this transaction is that transcendental loving affairs are as relishable during separation as during conjugal enjoyment. When Srimati Radharani was fully absorbed in love of Krishna, she mistook a black tamal tree for Krishna and embraced it. such a mistake is called prema vilasa vivarta. Udriti, Sri Ramananda Samvad. This sort of feeling during separation of the lover and the beloved is called prema vilasa vivarta, which is the topmost sentiment in loving affairs. Here in verse 195 below is another heartfelt description of the same prema vilasa vivarta by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Ujjwala Nilama, 28195. Sri Ramananda Rai continued, O my Lord, you live in the forest of Govardhan Hill, and, like the king of elephants, you are expert in the art of conjugal love. O master of the universe, your heart and Srimati Radharani's heart are just like shellac and are now melted in your spiritual perspiration. Therefore, one can no longer distinguish between you and Srimati Radharani. Now that you have mixed your newly invoked affection, which is like vermilion, with your melted hearts, and for the benefit of the whole world, you have painted both your hearts red with this great palace, within this great palace of the universe. Srila Prabhupada. This verse quoted by Ramananda Rai is included in Srila Rupa Goswami's Ujjwala Nilamani, Stai Bhava Prakarana, 155. Says really far out, right? So Ramananda Rai, what he spoke, Rupa Goswami writes in his Ujjwala Nilamani, and then Kaviraj Goswami writes it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah.
They can understand.
But it's just how they're inspired by each other's devotion. 28196 to 200. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed these verses recited by Sri Ramananda Rai, saying, this is the limit of the goal of human life. Only by your mercy have I come to understand it conclusively. The goal of life cannot be achieved unless one practices the process. Now, being merciful upon me, please explain that means by which this goal can be attained, right? So there's a process to get there. And wherever you are in the process, that's where we practice. But this is the goal, and we can attain that if we follow the process to please the Lord. Right? Sri Ramananda Rai replied, I do not know what I am saying, but you have made me speak what I have spoken. Be it good or bad, I am simply repeating that message. Within these three worlds, who is so undisturbed, that he can remain steady as you manipulate your different energies. Actually, you are speaking through my mouth, and at the same time you are listening. This is very mysterious. Anyway, kindly hear the explanation of the process by which the goal can be attained. Yes?
It sounds that right from the beginning, although it was announced that they're going to speak about the goal, they spoke about the process the whole way through. When they start Varnashrama and then following Gita verses and like that, it didn't sound like they speak about Prayojana.
No, but each one is what is the goal? So he's putting one Prayojana. It is a Prayojana for some people, for some level. And then he's going to the next level, next level, next level, until he gets to this. So all of those are goals for somebody. Just like for the Mimamsakas, their goal is to attain the heavenly planets, right? So they didn't, for the Jnanis to attain liberation, he didn't even start there. He started with those who are already connecting it to devotional service. Right? But it's not till he gets to pure devotional service that Lord Chaitanya says that this is solid. So it's all goal. Goal means is what are you trying to obtain? So there's going to be immediate goals, and then there's the ultimate goal. Right? So even in R, we want the ultimate goal is to develop love for Krishna. But immediate goal will be, we come to the class, then the next goal will be to get home. Next goal will be something else there. Next goal will be get up in the morning. Like that. But that's all in the long-term goal. So he's pointing out what's the actual long-term goal? The ultimate goal. So he's saying that now this has been, he's confirmed that this is the topmost. the limit of the goal of human life. Because beyond this, is we won't understand anyway. But basically, this is beyond. Because it's unlimited. Because they're saying is that mood has become, that they become so absorbed like that, that it has, there is no limit to that absorption. There's no limit to their attraction. Does that make some sense? Yeah. But at the same time, as we also understand that none of them are separate from each other. And it's just like, this is going on, but when they describe this, they'll also set the scene. You know, it's just like in the Gita, it sets the scene. It shows where it is, what's the moods, how Duryodhana is reacting, how Arjuna is reacting, and all that, then gets into the spiritual subject matter. But if we just, deal with the first chapter and think that we've, given a summary of the Gita, then we've missed the point. But when you see that, then the context of how he deals in the questions, you understand it by that scene. So the previous points of these scenes and pastimes that Krishna is performing, then it's in those positions that these flavors are being experienced. Does that make sense? So they all go together. But it's just which one's the prominent. Just like we were discussing in the morning, that the rasas are mixed. But one of them will be the angi and the others will be yanga. Like that. So other points will be there and they'll come up and all that. But it's the taste of the devotion, the exchange of that devotion between Krishna and the devotees. That's the essence. But right now we just look at mundane things and they say, no, it's not this. Okay, then liberation. No, there's something beyond liberation. And so then, there's other forms of liberation. There's Vaikuntha, there's all these things. And so then we start to work on giving up the material world to get free from it. At the same time, we have to be cultivating to get into the spiritual world. Right? So the devotional process includes already, mentioned before, that level of Brahman. That's why it says, going to bhakti, you're going through Brahman, but you're only going through there because you're practicing bhakti. Because if it's devoted to Krishna, then his position is the impersonal, is an anga of Krishna. So in your devotion to Krishna, as we're going up through that, then these things will be touched on. Like all the devotees, pure devotees, they're already liberated. Right? So in other words, when we say give up material desire, that means one's liberated. But for us, it's having given up the material desire, therefore you can understand Krishna's path. That's important. It's not the taste of liberation. Does that make sense? It's just like you go from here to Calcutta, you drive through Krishnagar. So if I say going to Calcutta, then you go through Krishnagar. But it's not that Krishnagar is important, it's just part of that path. So the path to Calcutta includes the path to, Ranagat, the path to Shantipur, the path to Krishnagar. You understand? So that's the whole thing. That's why if you're on the path of bhakti, these others are included. You don't have to separately endeavor. Just by following bhakti, you're already doing these others. But it doesn't have... we don't necessarily see all the academic terminology. And then when the acharyas do give all that, then we go, wow, what's this? It's like, we'll say, oh, this is less, the academics are so smart, but if we use our own academic level, it's way beyond whatever they got. Yes.
It seems that the conversation goes on two tracks. See, one track is showing the different levels of purification all the way to the top level of bhakti. And the other is to satisfy what Chaitanya's desires, because he's not prepared to hear anything else but Madhuriyas. So Ramanjaya caters for both.
Yes, but the point is that we have to see is that these are goals. But we have to understand there's more than that.
It's not ultimate.
No. So you do go up, and so that we see that, because, you know, you start at the beginning, you know, we'd be, much of the time, the one he starts with, for us, that would be a good day. You know, and even that, devotees are debating whether, you know, that's where we should be or not. You know? So, yes, you do have a progression, but just like there's a progression in the unfolding of rasa. You know, you have the ashraya, the vishraya, then with the udipan, then there's going to be the anubhavas, and then that's going to, other things are going to come up. So you can show a progression, but that doesn't mean that it's not a taste happening at one time. And the other thing is we also have to appreciate is that the process of getting there has a taste also. Right? Means it's like this. As far as the guy is concerned, a relationship's come up to a certain point. So at any time you want, you just start from that point. But it never works like that. The lady starts it from the beginning. There's a taste on going to that point. So it's not a problem for Lord Chaitanya to go up through all these things like that. Because you have to remember, he's in the mood of Radharani, not a masculine mood. But because we're conditioned, we look at it from a masculine point of view. You know, it's just immediately bang, just right. No, I think there's a saying like that about something about the, it's in the, what do you call it? Something about in the journey, or it's in the it's in the chase, or there's some kind of things like that. What's pointing out is that, it's the whole thing of tasting the whole movement. Does that make sense? So there's not a problem for Lord Chaitanya to go up through these. So it's not like he's getting impatient and like, come on, let's go moving here. It's that these are all, yes, it's there, but no, but then there's this, no, but then there's that, and then there's, you know. Does that make sense?
Because he would be the same thing as later than himself.
Yes, because that's just the thing. There's always that point, you know. Guy goes into the kitchen, grabs a bowl. He may or may not look and see if it's clean or not. Get out something, you know, pour it into the bowl, leave the box on the counter, you know, go open the fridge, you know, and do all that. Good chance he'll close the fridge because the fridge starts to make funny noises and that, and you can get in trouble, so he'll close that. Then he'll just go and sit down somewhere and start eating. Right? But ladies, it's, you know, there's a process, that and this and that, and it looks nice, where are you going to sit, where are you going to eat, you know, what's with this breakfast and how you feel, where's the proper place to sit? Right? And it's definitely not across from somebody who's sitting there and just, you know, munching away with their mouth open and spilling things all over the table. Does that make sense? So there's the whole thing is that, yes, the atmosphere is part of it, but it's part of the experience. So that's the thing. We're thinking that the environment is the experience. But the point is, no, the experience is something beyond that. And then the environment supports that. Does that make sense? So we have to get beyond the mechanics and appreciate the mechanics are part of the taste. You know? You know, it's just like, let's say, you're in Paris, right? And the boy and girl meet, and he wants to take her out to dinner, right? You know, for an evening, an experience. So he takes her to McDonald's, right? you know. So the point is that's not an experience. You know, what I say you go to some place where you know there's it's nice, it's difficult, it's rare. You know, you have a nice seat, the tablecloth, the lighting, everything like that, you know, costs €1 million, though it's only worth about 5, you know, like that. But the point is the experience. It's all part of that. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So yes, it's all part of the thing. So that's why then, you know, you go there, you know, one or two times like that, and then after the guy thinks, yeah, we'll just go there, and she doesn't want to go there because she's been there already so many times. We always go there. What do you mean? We've only been there twice. That's not always. But you got to find somewhere else. And it has to give the same experience of quality. It could be different variety, something else. But it has to, so that's why you have to work. That's the masculine aspect. You got to work. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. Now, if you go to Subway, now this is the thing. Do you take her up to the counter to make her own, or do you go up to the counter and make it for her? Kind of get the idea with that cough, it was neither.
There's nothing on Subway looking to make it for her own sandwich for her.
Well, no, then you get to see how good he is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the whole thing is we're talking about something very different here. And that's the point. The three are blended. So we break it down into samvit, sandini, ladini. For our analyzation, so that we start to understand that there's a difference between the spiritual and material. But in the spiritual world, they don't break it down like that. It's all together. You don't do that. Does that make sense? Yeah. They can taste all these things, and if need be, they can explain exactly which is which. You know, it's just like if you're very good at, you know, food and all that, then you can appreciate the taste, and you might express some points that bring it out, and that's enough for the conversation. But if someone asks you know how to cook that, you can explain technically how it's done, but you're talking about the taste and those things that bring it out and add to it or you know, like that.
This morning I was reading about Krishna showing the Greek classes.
Yeah, because they were thinking we're just regular humans, you know, we got it. So then he shows them all that. Yeah. And then he took them to the place where Akrura saw also. So, yeah, like that. But for them, it's all about Krishna. So.
It's like a local cinema place.
Yeah. That's the spot. That's the spot.
So the whole thing, they say, Krishna is a very wonderful person.
Yeah, Krishna is wonderful. So that's the point. Krishna is wonderful, so that's the important aspect. They're absorbed, so that's the thing. Everybody else, then it changes their mood. Like Akrura, you see it changed his mood. From being uncle, then now he's a servant. He drops into Dasya. So it happens the same with his parents, anybody else. And Dorka, anytime anything wonderful, they just drop into Dasya. Like that. So, yeah. But they don't. Like you said, that's far, huh? Yeah, their thing is, are we going to get there? You're already there.
This episode actually he wants to show them where they're going, isn't it?
Yeah.
He showed them, you're going to go there.
Yeah, but they're already there.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, because they're already there and they're thinking, oh, when will we attain? Because they all worship Vishnu as their deity. So when will you attain that? So he's showing them where they'll go. But that's the fun part. They're already there. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Sanatana Goswami, has advised us to hear about Krishna from a Vaishnava. He has explicitly forbidden us to hear from an Avaishnava.
Ooh,
an Avaishnava. Okay, that's how you tell the difference. Has advised us to hear about Krishna from a Vaishnava. He has explicitly forbidden us to hear from an Avaishnava. So now you know an Avaishnava, that means someone's not a Vaishnava, and a Vaishnava is someone who is a Vaishnava. That's English for you. Avaishnava mukod girnam puta putam hari katamritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishtam yata payaha. Thus quoting from Padma Purana, Srila Sanatana Goswami warns that one should not hear anything about Krishna from an Avaishnava, however great a mundane scholar he may be. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects. Similarly, talks about Krishna given by an Avaishnava are also poisonous. However, because a Vaishnava, also is an Avaishnava, the Vaishnava is also in small letters, or a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava is in capital letters. It's a subtle symptoms how you can tell. However, because a Vaishnava is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his talks are spiritually potent. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.10, the Supreme Lord says, so they're spiritually potent. The other one, it just will entangle you in material desire. That's all. But when the devotee speaks, because of the chit potency, then it will give the spiritual effect. In Bhagavad Gita 10.10, the Supreme Lord says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to worshipping me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. When a pure Vaishnava speaks, he speaks perfectly. How is this? His speech is managed by Krishna himself from within the heart. Srila Ramananda Rai accepts this benediction from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he admits that whatever he was speaking was not derived from his own intelligence. Rather, everything was coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? So, they're speaking, so the Lord then reveals how to speak. You know, it's just... Yes. Okay. Yes. He's saying it's just coming from Krishna. That's why we don't change them. It's that simple. And who's Vishnu?
Right. So why aren't you Krishna?
No, but who's Vishnu? And why? How? Yes. So it's Krishna who's expanding. So it's only Krishna. So, I mean, that's in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, that's one of the major points that's being made that's there, is that you don't change the names. What's given there, you leave it as it is. So, Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi, how Prabhupada gave it, you don't change it to Krishna Bhakti Pradi Devi because we're such Paramahamsas and Prabhupada wasn't. You know? Because the point is Vishnu is Krishna. It's just Krishna taking that mood for some specific work. That's like saying, if we meet your friend at work, we won't talk to him because now he's in work mode. We'll only talk to him when he's at home. Or at the office, then we want to talk to him and joke and laugh and call him by the nicknames that he has in front of everybody. No, you just don't do these things. Point is Krishna is the supreme. And everybody else is just an anga of him. So if you say Vishnu, it means Krishna. So when it says Brahman, it means Krishna. When it says Vishnu, it means Krishna. just this aspect of Krishna, but it means Krishna. They're not separate. So we're seeing separate. So that's the problem. So for us, yes, it focuses us and makes it this and that, but the problem is then we don't appreciate how that non-difference, we make too much of a difference, and then that becomes impersonal. When you don't understand that Krishna, the person, from his sarup, all his expansions, all his energies, and all these transformations come, then it's impersonal because you don't accept that it's coming from him. You think, oh, things are there, and then, okay, he's beyond that, but how is he beyond that? And we make no connection between it, then that's deifying. And so many problems come up if we overemphasize that. You know, how is it that the gopis were worshipping Katyayani? You know, the goal is Krishna. Yes.
Like in Paramatma Sandarbha, there's three aspects of this. How Krishna is the original, efficient, and material cause. Material cause, efficient cause, and original cause. So if you don't accept him as material and efficient cause, then Achintya Bheda Bheda philosophy, the whole thing
is you're not accepting. You could hear? Yes, so that's the point, is he's all that. And so, but the point is it's Krishna who's all that. It's not that Brahman is the main and then Krishna. No, Brahman means Krishna. Brahman means the greatest. Krishna is the greatest. And the Anga of him, that's his potency. You know, unlimited potencies and the effulgence of that, that's the Brahman, the Brahmajyoti. So one has to appreciate that that's there. So one has to appreciate, if our mantras say Vishnu in it, that's the way it is. We even see when to make that clear, then he'll add Vishnu's names to demigods' names. Like it says, the Vedic verse is Prajapati. And Gopabhata Goswami put Prajapati Vishnu. But if it already says Vishnu, they don't change it. Because that's the way the mantra is. So we have to understand that there's something here that you know, like that. You know, Prabhupada's not a Brajbasi, you know, he's not, you know. So these are the things, that's what the Acharyas give. Because these are what Krishna's given. Krishna's given these processes, that's how he's pleased. You know, saying, it's just like, let's say, you come to an office and you want a job, and so the boss talks to you and this and that, sees you have some potential. Then he gives you something. You know, what work you want to do is one thing, but he says, you know, clean over here. And so you're thinking, what has this got to do with this? What I want to do, you know, I'm a PA, I serve personally. And I said, no, you clean there. Because if you can't clean there properly, how you'll take care of him in the office? So he can watch what you're doing, and he sees you doing that, and that's nice. So that's the sadhana, says all these things. You're doing that all to please Krishna. Krishna becomes pleased, then you advance. So that's the whole, why it says we have to follow these things. If you have, Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes the point, if you have material desire, you have to follow Varnashram. If you don't have material desire, then you can just stick to sadhana. But that means no material desire. You know, and then Varnashram is not so important. That means we function just within the Brahminical platform. But otherwise, you don't have an occupation. If the temple, you do service, you do like this, then you don't need the Varnashram. But if you have material desire, you have to follow it. You know? And we see sadhana. By sadhana, that will bring you to bhava. Bhava will bring you to prema. If you don't follow sadhana, how you'll get to bhava? Right? And we see those who do come to the platform of bhava, if they're still here, they follow everything like a regular sadhaka. So that's the thing, is that we look at things externally and make it all our decisions based on the external. One's advancing because of the external, all that's the external, and so I have to change external to be more advanced. Means you can tell symptoms by the external, but the point is it's not about the external. You know, we follow the external, but it's not about the external. So that's the difficulty. For us, it's we're used to karma again. Karma is all external. You know, you perform work in the external, you get, you know, better things in the external. Or gyan, well, if it's not about the external, I do nothing with the external. We're not used to bhakti, which is, I use the external without attachment to please Krishna. So just that sentence, that includes the, everything to do with karma and everything to do with gyan. It's already being engaged in Krishna's service. Is that okay? According to Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sani Vishto Matas Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha Vedaish Cha Sarveraham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krid Vedavid Eva Chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. All intelligence emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul within the heart of everyone. Non-devotees want to ask the Supreme Lord for sense gratification. Therefore, non-devotees come under the influence of Maya, the illusory energy. A devotee, however, is directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes under the influence of Yogamaya. Consequently, there is a gulf of difference between statements made by a devotee and those made by a non-devotee. Because they're working within devotional service, Krishna guides them, you know, how to speak. So Ramananda Raya is acknowledging that and says, you know, because Lord Chaitanya is telling him, you speak, you explain. And he's saying, you know, well, actually, it's you're, you know, you have all knowledge, all these things. You're the one that's getting me to speak how I'm speaking. But so therefore, you know, it pleases you, then I'm happy to do. And so since you've asked me, I will speak. So he doesn't say back, oh, I can't speak. No, please speak. No, I can't speak. No, please speak. No, I can't. Yeah. You know, not that kind of. Yeah. 2:8, 2:01, 2:05. Sri Ramananda Rai continued, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are very confidential. They cannot be understood through the mellows of servitude. They cannot be understood through the mellows of servitude, fraternity, or parental affection. Actually, only the gopis have the right to appreciate these transcendental pastimes, and only from them can these pastimes be expanded. That means the other rasas won't understand them. Because they're in a, one is that it's just their situation, they're a different category, and they have their own scene that they do. And that, like the parental doesn't mix with anything else. There's nothing else that's friendly with it. You know? Some secondary rasas are there, but the primary, there's no connection like that. And so they have their own sphere that they move in. And of course, by all the etiquette and the pastimes and that, they all have connection with each other. And so that's how you have the wonderful pastimes of all this variety of devotees. But it's not that they can understand. Like Mother Jashoda, as far as she's concerned, her boy is just a little boy. And so she can't understand why everybody's saying, oh, be very careful, you know, and him with the gopis and that. It's kind of like, what are you talking about? He's just a little boy. So they can't understand. Yeah, so only the gopis will understand it, and only they can expand it. Only they can explain it. Right? So that's why we have to hear from them. Yes?
In the beginning, Rupa Goswami mentions that this book is meant for only those who appreciate Madhuri about directly.
Yes.
Even those who are in other bhavas.
Don't. Yeah, so that's the point. The book is for that. Is it? Ujjvala, he's saying in the beginning of Ujjvala Nilamani, then Rupa Goswami says this book is just for those who appreciate the conjugal rasa. If not, you know, as it mentions here, Ramananda Rai said, you won't understand it anyway. So, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that'll be generic, that everybody can understand. And you see, but very little is explained in detail on the conjugal rasa. More is on the other. Because those three there, they can basically relate to each other. Because they're coming out of the the samvit potency. These rasas expand from samvit, right? Shanta from sandini, but conjugal from ladini, right? It's not that there's not bliss in the others, but it's just that's where they're centered. So they're in a different category. So that's the point, is that it won't be appreciated. And you see, as those who they're formally in other rasas, they have other books that they read. Like that. We don't read their books, they don't read our books. You know, what's the point? Only by their cooperation are such pastimes broadcast. It is their business to taste the mellows. Right? The gopis taste the mellows of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Without the help of the gopis, one cannot enter into these pastimes. So without their help, like that. And so then we follow them. That's the point. So how they say, that's how we do. And we couldn't care less about others, you know, what they say. That's why, what you see, they're so strong about the scholars and the sahajiyas, like that. You know, the bowels are just one group of the sahajiyas. Like that. Only one who worships the Lord in the ecstasy of the gopis, following in their footsteps, right, says footsteps, not imitation, right, sahajiyas imitate, can engage in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. Only then can one understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. There is no other procedure for understanding. Right? So you see, as soon as he got up to there, then it reached the pinnacle. Now, Lord Chaitanya, so how do we reach that? So now this is there. And Prabhupada said this, one follows in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. We're Radha Nugas. And of Radha Nugas, we're specifically Rupa Nugas. We follow Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada. The means for returning home, for going back to Godhead, is devotional service. But everyone has a different taste in the Lord's service. One may be inclined to serve the Lord in servitude, dasyaras, fraternity, shakyaras, or parental love, vatsalyarasa. But none of these can enable one to enter into the service of the Lord in conjugal rasa, conjugal love. To attain such service, one has to follow in the footsteps of the gopis in the ecstasy of Sakhi Bhava. Then only one can understand the transcendental mellow of conjugal love. In the Ujjvala Nilamani, Shaki Prakarana 1, Srila Rupa Goswami advises, Prema Lila Viharanam Samyag Vishtarika Shaki Vishrambha Ratna Peti Cha. One who expands the conjugal love of Krishna. One who expands the conjugal love of Krishna and his enjoyment among the gopis is called a sakhi. Such a person is a confidential gopi in the confidential affairs. Right? So Krishna has that in the tasting of the conjugal ras, the sakhis means they're spreading it amongst those within that rasa. Radha Krishna pastime, they help expand that, help it make it, transform from one thing to another and taste all the different things. Right? Yes. But I'm saying that means that they all. So Radha and Krishna are the pastime. And they expand and make it go this and that and bring out and all kinds of things like this. This mean that somebody's pulled the red switch and so now it's time to stop and leave. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.